Coming to you now is Lehem Panim with your host, Pastor Cameron Urey, Senior Pastor and Bible Teacher at Renton Park Chapel in Renton, Washington.
Hello and welcome to Lehem Panim. In our study of the book of Acts, we have seen how God has been establishing His church. And in our passage today, we see one of the means by which He's doing that. It says in chapter 5, verse 12, "Now many signs and wonders were regularly done among the people by the hands of the apostles." So right off the bat, we see the disciples are carrying on the healing ministry of Jesus. And these healings, verse 12 calls signs and wonders. Now, what is a sign? You know, the other day my wife and I were driving home, and I saw a sign that brought me immediate joy. In fact, I was so thankful, I immediately turned to her and said, "That sign said shoulder use permitted." And so I immediately started to stretch and rotate my shoulders. I said, "Oh man, that feels good." To which she promptly rolled her eyes, as all wives do when their husbands make corny jokes. But you know, signs are important. They're there for more than just our admiration or our wonder. No, they actually mean something. And what a particular sign means is important. And this is especially true when it comes to biblical signs, which are kind of a lot like road signs. We always think of them as being miracles, and they often are. But they're more than just miracles. They're miracles with a point. Just like a road sign, they point us to something. Something we need to recognize, which is often a deeper spiritual and often divine reality. Something that God's trying to make known to us. In the Gospels, particularly John's Gospel, signs play a key role in revealing to us who Jesus is. And they have the same purpose here in the book of Acts as well. And one of the things that these signs clearly reveal is that God is at work through the apostles. They're a way of authenticating their ministry and the name of Jesus in whom they're performing these signs. Now, there have been many imposters who have tried to use miraculous signs to gain a following. Just recently, I saw a purported miracle somebody posted on Facebook. A crippled woman in Africa was listening to her pastor preach, and her arm was all malformed and short. But the preacher suddenly claimed he was going to heal the woman, and he began ranting and raving, and the woman hunched over and let her short, deformed arm point towards the ground. And slowly but surely, the arm began to extend. And the preacher kept ranting and raving, and he started throwing water on her. I guess it was holy water. And her arm kept extending until it was a normal length. An apparent miracle. And you know, I so wanted this to be true. And so I looked it up, but sadly discovered that it was a hoax. This woman had been used on multiple occasions by at least two different charismatic pastors who wanted to display their miraculous healing powers. And I watched two services where it looks like the same woman was healed twice for the same thing. And what is actually going on with her is that she has missing bone structure in her arm that allows her to crush up her arm and tighten her muscles and hold her arm inside of her body. And then as she relaxes her muscles, the arm extends. And that's why she needs to hunch over, because she can't actually lift her arm because there's no bone structure inside. And you can catch it in one video where you see that her arm flops back a little bit farther than a normal arm should be able to. And so the miracle was a fake, used by the pastors in a malicious, sinister way to manipulate people into thinking that they had the power of God, and so that people would follow them. However, the miracles the apostles were performing were nothing like this. They weren't isolated healings done to a few people that no one knew. Rather, the apostles were healing many people, too many to be some kind of elaborate hoax. And these were people that those around them could validate had indeed been crippled. The crippled man at Solomon's portico is an excellent example. Everyone knew that he had been crippled. His legs were deformed. He had never walked. And now he's walking and leaping and praising God. Now, miracles don't always come from God. Just because someone performs a miracle or a supposed miracle, that doesn't mean that God's at work in them. It could, at times, be Satan. And we'll see some of that later in the book of Acts. But what sets the signs of Jesus and the apostles apart was that the signs that they were performing complemented a message that was true to the Word of God. They weren't proclaiming a new doctrine. They were proclaiming the fulfillment of an already existing promise of salvation. And I would argue further that the nature and authority of the miracles that the apostles were performing was vastly superior to what any sorcerer would be able to perform. Their miracles were like that performed by Moses back in Exodus. The miracles of God, they could only be denied by those who could not accept the message. Like Pharaoh, in whose image the Sanhedrin had allowed themselves to become fashioned into, as they demonstrate continuously that same hardness of heart. We're not willing to go where the evidence points because we're not willing to change our position. Now, I want you to also recognize something else. And this is something that the Sanhedrin no doubt recognized. And that's that the apostles, they're not just healing people, but they're doing so in a way that mirrored how Jesus himself had healed people. Notice how the apostles, like Jesus, once again, they are healing everybody. It says in verse 16, the people also gathered from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all healed. And you know, that's reminiscent of Luke chapter 4, verses 38 to 41, which says, and he, Jesus, arose and left the synagogue and entered Simon's house. Now Simon's mother-in-law was ill with fever, and they appealed to him on her behalf. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose and began to serve them. Now when the sun was setting, all those who had any who were sick with various diseases brought them to him. And he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And demons also came out of many, crying, "You are the Son of God." But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak because they knew that he was the Christ. Now, notice how in both passages we find demons being driven out of people, something that Satan would never do because it would mean that Satan's house would be divided against itself and therefore wouldn't be able to stand, as Jesus himself points out in Matthew 12:26. And so there's no reason to doubt that it truly was the power of God that had been at work in and through Jesus, and that the apostles who are now preaching and teaching in his name are carrying on that same power, that same authority. It wasn't just that people were getting healed. No, it was the scope and the nature of the miracles, combined with a message that was true to the Word of God. And in the demons being driven out, we see revealed how Jesus, through the apostles, is defeating Satan, that great enemy of God. The head of the snake is once again being crushed. Now, there's a lot of debate over the whole role of signs and healings in the church today. And I don't doubt for a minute that God does often heal when we cry out to him. But what we also have to recognize is that while there were ordinary church members who performed signs and healings in the book of Acts, like Stephen, we see that verse 12 indicates that it was the apostles who were the primary ones performing these signs and wonders. And as we said before, this was kind of God's way of authenticating their message. This was a new era in the church, and really in the story of salvation as a whole. And in Scripture, we see that whenever God moved his people into a new era, the next stage of his great plan of salvation, He always made sure that the inauguration of that era was supported by miraculous signs that confirmed that he really was the one behind it. When the age of the law began, God empowered Moses to perform signs and wonders. At the inauguration of the era of the prophets, God allowed those prophets at the beginning of that era, think of Elijah and Elisha, to also perform great signs and wonders. When the age of the gospel was inaugurated, God validated that era with signs and wonders performed in and through his son Jesus. And that's one of the reasons that Jesus was always so careful to stress that the signs he performed weren't done in his own power, but rather were God's power at work through him. He wanted to show that this was God's way of validating this new era of the gospel as legitimate, as God had validated the other eras in and throughout the Old Testament. And similarly, in this new era of the church, as the apostles carry this gospel into the world, God is allowing signs and wonders to confirm this new era. One scholar said that each time God opens a new door, he calls man's attention to it. It's his way of saying, follow these leaders because I have sent them. Now, this certainly does not mean that God is limited and can no longer perform miracles for his people. What it does mean is that the need for confirming miracles has passed away. We now have the completed word of God, and we test teachers. We weigh their teaching by their message, not by miracles. And even more important than the physical healing, we see here in this passage that there's a spiritual healing that is taking place as people are brought into relationship with Jesus. It says that multitudes were being added to their fellowship. And so one thing that we need to be sure not to overlook is the fact that the people were finding in Jesus the deepest healing they needed, healing from sin. That is the greatest miracle of all, seeing a lost person come into the fold of God and become one of his children. Seeing a life that is broken be restored. That's the miracle that meets the greatest need. It's the miracle that lasts the longest. And it's also the miracle that cost the greatest price, the blood of Jesus. And you know, that's one miracle that we can all participate in as we share the message of the gospel, the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, as Romans 1:16 says. And that's why I want to encourage you this week to commit yourself in a special way to helping to spread the gospel message. Let's do so together. Amen.
Today's episode of Lehem Panim has been made possible by Renton Park Chapel, a church that is committed to the ministry of sharing the joy of hearing and doing God's Word, and to the mission of bringing people into the life-giving presence of Jesus Christ in and through vibrant preaching, teaching, Bible study, prayer, and ministry to a world that is in desperate need of the healing touch of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to learn more about our ministry here at Renton Park Chapel, or would like to request any of our messages here on Lehem Panim, you can visit us online at rentonparkchapel.org or lehempanim.org. You can also find us on both Facebook and Twitter. We look forward to hearing from you, and thank you for listening. And may you know all the fullness of having in your life the bread of the presence of God.